spoken about the gaining the knowledge of Jesus, who he is, and the importance of that, because if we don't know correctly whom Jesus is, none of our prayers will have any benefit, none of the sacrifices and sufferings we go through will be worth of anything. It's important that we know Jesus as he truly is, not from the mouths and minds of others who do not love him, or they say they love him, but present blasphemous and terrible teachings upon him, but rather we know him as he should be known. Of equal importance too as Catholics is that we know his mother well. It's another set of distortions that are out there about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Father Faber, a great English priest, toward the end of, I wouldn't say the last century, century before that, toward the end of the 1800s, when writing the introduction to the book True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, he was pleased to present this book to people so they can grow in love of our Blessed Mother and have the real, strong, and true devotion toward Mary as God himself had toward Mary. And he had an interesting thought in there. This is why he was so pleased this book was being brought forth. It was because the Protestants out there are making of Mary less a Mary than she really is, teaching a few things over here, making her more human, scatterbrained, emotional, all the things they want to attribute to him, because after all, she's just a woman. Oh, God favored her. Oh, of course. God favored her. She's a mother of Jesus, but after that, she was just any old woman. Do they read the scriptures? The scriptures tell us about Mary. And when the angel came to propose to her to be the mother of God, he says, "Hail, full of grace." This is no ordinary person. You and I are far from full of grace, even if we have sanctifying grace, because we still have the residue of sin until we have ever come to the point that we stop sinning and turn toward God. Maybe, just maybe, we can start to say we are filling with grace, but not full. And full to a capacity that never fully reaches its end. That's how God created Mary. This is how the Son of God, having the ability as God to choose his own mother, chose her in this way. Such an important and loving person, giving her more favors than you and I can ever imagine, sanctifying her from the very moment of her existence, keeping her from sin in any way, because after all, and this is the common sense idea non-Catholics don't like, this is why they make less of Mary than what she is. The common sense idea, if it's not in the Bible because you can't believe it, well, it's a point of common sense. Put this teaching here, put this thought from the scriptures together. You know, one and one does make two. This thought and this thought leads us here. If we understand that God had the chance to create his mother in this manner, and the angel addresses her as being full of grace, doesn't it make sense that the Son of God would not take flesh from a sinful person? Doesn't it make sense? But it's not in the Bible. I don't care. The angel explains enough to us there. She is full of grace. She is the greatly and favored one of God. None other were like that. The salvation of mankind did not begin until her conception. The whole work of salvation was not going until Mary, the fullness of time, began in her. And so these poor people that don't want to see in Mary what she is, we pray for them. You see pictures depicted of her as someone, you know, there as either a fool, and St. Joseph treats her foolishly, or that story in the temple where Jesus asks, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" That they give to Jesus a biting tongue toward his mother. Is not this the same God who said that we must follow the fourth commandment to honor father and mother? And do you think he is going to show dishonor if he is truly God? Do these people get it? They say they know, they say they love, they say they understand, and yet when it comes down to it, they don't put the one and one plus two that makes it bring it all together. Caught up just with words, but don't see the entire picture of things. And because of that, they don't know Mary. I think one of the worst of the things that they have toward Mary that comes to us here on Calvary is that they depict her as someone who has just fainted away. She is so filled with sorrow, and she's out there just screaming like a banshee. No control, just what you would expect some woman to do. Greatly sorrowful, and yes, it's a sorrowful event, but not to the point she loses control, not to the point that she faints away. Because the scriptures are clear. St. John records it for us, and he should know because he stood next to her. They're stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. They're stood there. She didn't faint away. She didn't get all wild and evil-eyed. She showed to us how you and I must suffer. When we have seen Jesus crucified for our sins, we need to compassionate also our mother. She had no sins of her own for which to suffer. And she suffered tremendously because she had such a pure soul. The pure soul that purely loves God. When you don't sin, your soul changes toward God. Your soul looks toward him, reflecting on him. The least little offense against him grieves you greatly. Because I so love God and Son in this way. And yet, people who want to make Mary more human than she is, because they don't see that she has been so full of grace from the very moment of her existence, that sin has never been a part of her life, that when she had to suffer, she suffered in a way you and I will never suffer. She suffered from the purity of her soul out of love for God, out of sorrow for the sins of men. No, she didn't see the sins of men like her son Jesus did. But she understood from the reading of the scriptures that this is what her son had to do, to die for all the sins of men. Even if all the knowledge she had was the sins of men that lived around her in her time, that's enough to tell you what the sins of men were like. She didn't need to have to look into our century and see where people are in our century and how they so greatly and easily fail in the service of God, sin against him. And I'm just talking with people who say they love him, who say they are faithful to him, that they are members of his church. We're not talking about those others out there who despise him. And in that despising of him, sin in that way. Mary didn't see all the way into eternity, to our time, into time rather than to our time. But she saw enough, and she knew what her son had to suffer. She saw it in the great agony that he went through. And that brought such sorrow to her soul that Pope Pius X tells us that we should regard her as the co-redemptrix. Boy, there's a term. Boy, the world is angry at that term. Do not just go out there and tell somebody who isn't Catholic, and even a modern-day Catholic, go out and say to them, I have devotion to Mary, and do you realize in all of the suffering she had with Jesus, she's co-redemptrix? No! St. Paul says there is only one mediator, one redeemer before God. It's true. We're not saying Mary is the Redeemer. But because she did not need to suffer because she did not sin, because she suffered in her heart and soul to such an extreme manner. That's the only word I can think of right now toward it. Because of all the sins of men. Because of all that, she suffered in ways that you and I will not will. She united her sufferings with those of her Jesus. And if she could take away his sufferings, she would. In that sense, then, she gained many, many graces for all of us. Those who would love her, those who would follow her, those who say they are sorry for sinning against Jesus can be led by our good mother. Isn't that the reason I think that why we find here that Jesus, while he is still suffering and dying, gives Mary to John, and through that to the rest of all faithful children, not just everyone. Jesus died, the fruits of his died. Jesus died for all. Let's put the theology straight. Jesus died for all, and that way satisfied for what his father had been, the indignity given to his father by the sins of all mankind. Took the infinite God to die to make up for the infinite sins. But when the fruit of Jesus dying, it doesn't go to everybody, because everybody doesn't believe in Jesus. They shouldn't gain those fruits. The fruits only come because my heart is willing and ready to receive those fruits. The fruits come from the shedding of the blood of Jesus on the cross. Those are the fruits that come forth. Those fruits are for the many. It's recorded in the scriptures. It's what we read in the Mass. This is what we mean by it. And one of the fruits that we can have is that Mary is our mother. All our trials, all our difficulties, anyone that we can turn to for the greatest of aids, it's Mary. She has suffered so much for us, her children. One of the great fruits of the passion and death of Jesus and the shedding of his blood on Calvary. One of these great fruits that the all do not know, will not know, don't care to know. Even blaspheme against her, which is possible to do. Now, we can't leave from Calvary today without spending some time reflecting here on who Mary is in our lives. Once again, are we making of Mary, our knowledge of her, what we gain from other people, what we read in the non-Catholic books, we see in the modern movies, we hear from non-Catholic friends, the ridicule they give to her and so forth. We don't stand up for her defense. We don't pray to her as our mother. We know Mary is there. We say the Hail Mary occasionally. We pray the rosary, but that's not enough. We need to see her in the scriptures. We need to meditate on her role in God's plan for us. We need to let my heart reveal now to God just how much I loved her. Remember what the prophet Simeon said? That she would have to go through many sufferings so that the thoughts of many, what is in their hearts, would be revealed. And one day we reveal when they see the people mocking and asking for Jesus to die. But also it keeps revealing itself in you and I. We say we love Jesus, we don't do so as we should. Mary suffers, wins graces for us if we will just pray, reflect, compassionate our good mother. Turn to her, love her, know her as truly her children do, not as other people say about her. Know her in this way. As we see her leaving from Calvary, following her, the body of her dead son going in for burial. Let us not just say, I'm going to say, that's it, dear Mary. I will not turn to thee again. It's over. No, it has only begun. Mary remains on this earth for a few years afterwards so that she can teach and help. Mary remains amongst us by prayer so she can teach and help. Before God, let us reveal from our hearts to her how much we love her, that the sufferings of Jesus have revealed to Mary not a hatred, a despising of God, but a loving for God, an amendment of life, a compassion for the sins I have committed, and thus comfort the heart of my good mother on Calvary. These are wonderful thoughts we need to take with us as we leave this evening and go home. As we finish out our reflections for Good Friday. Not too quickly. Try to, as you go home tonight, try to keep these thoughts alive. Reflect on what has taken place here. Keep working toward that amendment, that change. There's plenty of time tomorrow, there's plenty of time next week to worry about all kinds of stuff. Build up the spiritual life, make it strong, make this Good Friday a Holy Friday. After we finish with the devotions here and we come to be blessed, first of all, with the relic of the True Cross and then to kiss it in return, also we have here as part of our extra devotions for today the little statue of Jesus lying there in the tomb, but also the relic of the crown of thorns. Those crown thorns that the spiritual writers say pierced Jesus' head in such a terrible manner to make up for all of my sins of thought, my anger, my impure desires, and so many different things. Let us venerate the cross, let us venerate the crown of thorns, and prove to Jesus, I do love. Turn to Mary, help me, Mother. Be strong, as I know by the grace that was won for me, I can be. Make this a Good Friday, as a Holy Friday, and keeps thoughts alive in you in a holy manner, builds up that interior life, crowns it, makes it safe and sure, I will practice holiness now the rest of my life. That is what I'm here, leaving from Calvary today. This is what I am here to promise to God. And please God, I will keep it. Let's finish our prayers.